Again, we're in Jude, the book of Jude. Jude, a bondservant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are the called, beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ. May mercy and peace and love be multiplied to you. Beloved, while I was making every effort to write you about our common salvation, I felt the necessity to write to you, appealing that you contend earnestly for the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints. For certain persons have crept in unnoticed, those who were long beforehand marked out for this condemnation, ungodly persons who turn the grace of our God into licentiousness and deny our only Master and Lord, Jesus Christ. Now I desire to remind you, though you know all things once for all, that the Lord, after saving a people out of the land of Egypt, subsequently destroyed those who did not believe, and angels who did not keep their own domain but abandoned their proper abode, he has kept in eternal bonds under darkness for the judgment of the great day. Just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities around them, since they in the same way as these indulged in gross immorality and went after strange flesh, are exhibited as an example in undergoing the punishment of eternal fire. Yet in the same manner, these men, also by dreaming, defile the flesh and reject authority and revile angelic majesties. But Michael the archangel, when he disputed with the devil and argued about the body of Moses, did not dare pronounce against him a railing judgment, but said, "The Lord rebuke you." But these men revile the things which they do not understand and the things which they know by instinct, like unreasoning animals. By these things they are destroyed. Woe to them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and for pay they have rushed headlong into the error of Balaam and perished in the rebellion of Korah. These men are those who are hidden reefs in your love feasts when they feast with you without fear, caring for themselves. Clouds without water, carried along by winds. Autumn trees without fruit, doubly dead, uprooted. Wild waves of the sea casting up their own shame like foam, wandering stars for whom the black darkness has been reserved forever. And about these also Enoch in the seventh generation from Adam prophesied, saying, "Behold, the Lord came with many thousands of his holy ones to execute judgment upon all and to convict all the ungodly of all their ungodly deeds which they have done in an ungodly way and of all the harsh things which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are grumblers, finding fault, following after their own lusts. They speak arrogantly, flattering people for the sake of gaining an advantage. But you, beloved, ought to remember the words that were spoken beforehand by the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, that they were saying to you, 'In the last time there shall be mockers, following after their own ungodly lusts.' These are the ones who cause divisions, worldly-minded, devoid of the Spirit. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. And have mercy on some who are doubting, save others, snatching them out of the fire, and on some have mercy with fear, hating even the garment polluted by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory blameless with great joy, to the only God our Savior through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Amen." Jude 20 and 21. "But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life." The final point of last week's consideration was that we cannot just come to church on Sunday morning with the idea that we are here to be entertained. We are not here for what we can get out of the service if we are truly seeking to please God. We are gathered together as His bride in earnest expectation of His imminent return. We are preparing ourselves to receive our Lord and Master, our husband, and that requires perfect preparation in every aspect of our lives. It means that we spend the prior week in delighting ourselves in anticipation of being utterly pleasing unto Him. We are to be prayerfully seeking after the Holy Spirit to work His will in our lives. We are to be readying ourselves. We are to be reading and studying His Word. We are to be searching our hearts as to any manner in which we can more abundantly honor Him. This morning, it would be of extreme benefit to look at the Scripture in regard to this need for preparation in our diligent service of worship unto God. Why do we need to be conscientious and meticulous in our reverence and our devotion unto Him? That is a question which has its answer firmly rooted in His Word, as we have hopefully seen these last few weeks. Yet there is a principle of God at work in this, which we must see and obey. We must come to the place in our hearts and in our minds where there is no doubt that the very heart of God is set on this course of action. First, please realize that spiritual preparation is justly required from us because it is a godly characteristic. God Himself put forth the very principle of preparation from before the eternal ages even began. This is highlighted by the Apostle Paul in several passages. Romans 9:23-25. And He did so in order that He might make known the riches of His glory upon vessels of mercy, which He prepared beforehand for glory, even us, whom He also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among Gentiles. As He says also in Hosea, I will call those who were not My people, My people, and her who was not beloved, beloved. God had a plan and a purpose in mind before we were even created. He prepared everything according to His foreknowledge and carried through those plans by His Son, in whom all glory rests. Ephesians 2:4-10. But God, being rich in mercy, because of His great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up with Him, and seated us with Him in the heavenly places, in Christ Jesus, in order that in the ages to come He might show the surpassing riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works that no one should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God had everything prepared for the salvation of His creation in Jesus Christ. This was not a reaction to something that happened, to something that caught Him off guard. He knew that there was only one true means of saving us from ourselves, of releasing us from the grip of sin and death. Everything that has taken place in the history of mankind was foreordained and ordered by the mighty counsel of God. Ephesians 1:3-12. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. In love He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things upon the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we who were the first to hope in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. God Himself is our model of the preparation required to this spiritual life into which we have been called in Jesus Christ. As this is true, so ought we to be filled with the encouragement and the desire to fulfill every plan that He has for our lives, in a complete preparation unto worship of His so majestic and loving and holy and righteous being. 1 Corinthians 2:6-9. Yet we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak God's wisdom in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, things which eye has not seen and ear has not heard and which have not entered the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love Him. All that God has prepared. It is in place. On another level, consider the fact that even the angelic hosts must be prepared to carry out the plan and the purpose and the will of God. In their ministering service, they must ready themselves to perform the tasks from the divine counsel of which they have been entrusted. Revelation 8:6. And the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound them. Notice, they do not just sound the trumpets. They must prepare themselves to unleash the mighty forces that those trumpets will call forth. Theirs is not just a placid means of dutiful service, but it is required of them to be ready and willing and able to sound the trumpets of the end times. Revelation 9:15, "And the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and day and month and year were released so that they might kill a third of mankind." Then we have the example of our Lord Jesus Christ as He prepared Himself for all that was required of Him. One example is the course of preparation that was necessary after His baptism. Matthew 4, 1 and 2. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after He had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, He then became hungry." This was at the beginning of His earthly ministry. He needed to be prepared for the temptation that was to come. And so He was led by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness to fast for 40 days and 40 nights. He had to be ready to deal effectively with all the wiles and the snares that were sure to come. He had to be prepared to face them in the complete surrender of worship unto His Father alone. Listen to the response that proceeds forth as a direct result of this time of preparation, when man is at his weakest, but the power of God is at His greatest. Matthew 4:4. "But He answered and said, It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Verse 7, Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." And verse 10, "Then Jesus said to him, Begone, Satan, for it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God and serve Him only." Jesus was fully prepared to give all the glory and honor and praise and worship to His Father alone. He was set on that course. It did not just happen. It took the complete setting aside of every interest of His own for the sole and single sake of bringing honor to His Father in heaven. Then, consider the night before His crucifixion in the Garden of Gethsemane. He was facing the very hour of the foreordained fulfillment of the salvation of mankind. He knew the cost that was before Him. This was not just a casual time of gathering together some of His beloved disciples for fellowship. Everything in history hinged on His obedience. He was in earnest preparation for the event that was crashing upon Him. He needed to prepare Himself to accomplish His Father's will. He set forth in prayer and supplication in order to be perfectly readied for this hour of eternity. Matthew 26, 38 through 44. "Then He said to them, My soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with Me. And He went a little beyond them and fell on His face and prayed, saying, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as Thou wilt. And he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour? Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, Thy will be done. And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Jesus was ready. Through obedient prayer and earnest supplication to fulfill the very heart of God's love for you and for me, for all the members of His beloved church. Then, let us consider the very seriousness with which God ordained that His people should prepare for this Sabbath. This is something that has been lost in our society. And it has been lost through a great deception of the power of this age. It used to be that Sunday was a day set aside from the casual pursuits of everyday life. All stores were closed. It was illegal to sell alcohol. There was a serious stigma set upon those who would seek the pleasure of this world on the Lord's day of rest. It has only been at the end of this past century that Sunday has lost its place as the Lord's day in the minds and hearts of society. Look at how the Jews used to consider it. Mark 15:42-43. And when evening had already come, because it was the preparation day, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea came, a prominent member of the council, who himself was waiting for the kingdom of God, and he gathered up courage and went in before Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. They prepared for the Sabbath the day before. As a matter of fact, it was given and considered as the day of preparation for all that needed to be done before the Sabbath began. The food was cooked. The chores were accomplished. The details of everyday life were fulfilled in order that on the day of rest, the family could concentrate on the worship that God deserved. Luke 23:54, And it was the preparation day, and the Sabbath was about to begin. Admittedly, this was a largely ritualistic following of the law to please the understanding that they had of what was considered service unto God. There were many who merely followed the pattern as laid before them by the priests. But there were those, like Joseph of Arimathea, who truly prepared themselves for the worship that they could render unto God. There were the remnants of those whose hearts were after God and who felt that in following the prescribed manner of preparation, they were giving God the honor and the praise and the majesty that He was due. Preparation begets a heart that wants to bless God. It is that simple. Preparation begets a heart that wants to bless God. And that was the course that they took in all seriousness and diligence beginning with that day of preparation. While I'm not stating that we need to be rigid and legalistic in our preparation and our observance of the day of preparation and the Sabbath, there is an aspect that we need to seriously keep before the Lord in our hearts, your heart and my heart, as to the manner in which we are readying ourselves for worship. If the focal point of our gathering is to get something out of it for ourselves, for me to be blessed, to find something that will speak to us, to me, to meet my needs, we will miss the totality of what it means to worship God. If we are the focus, then Saturday will be just another day to find some relief from the work week. And Sunday will be just another day, another 8 to 12 hours, in which we can wrestle with the plans and concerns that we have for our self-fulfillment. There will be no day of rest in the Lord, and we will soon find that our time melts away into another Monday morning haze. If, however, if we are turning our focus upon that which pleases the Lord in our gathering together on His day, if we truly consider Sunday to be the Lord's day, all our attention will be set on that which would please Him in our gathering together as His saints. If we are prepared to join our hearts together as a family, sharing in the celebration of His goodness and His glory and His love, then we will find that we are spiritually refreshed because we have honored Him above all else. Hebrews 4, 9 through 12. There remains therefore a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered this rest has himself also rested from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall through following the same example of disobedience. For the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Notice how the writer to the Hebrews included the truth that the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the hearts. We may sit and think, this is just something that we have to do. His Word will determine, is it something that we are doing legalistically, or is it something we are doing because we want to honor Him? His Word will determine that. It's a serious matter to consider His day and the way we treat His day. That true rest of the Lord setting apart our hearts unto Him in the preparation necessary to honor Him does not just happen. Notice, we have the encouragement once again to be diligent to enter into that rest. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes commitment to prepare our hearts to enter into His rest. It means that we each read the Scripture and search out that word that the Holy Spirit may use for the edification of His church the next morning. It means that as we sing songs, we are asking the Holy Spirit to bring forth only those praise songs that will be of tribute unto Him. We must entreat Him to set the focus of the entire worship service upon the foundation of His glory alone. It means that we pray for the Lord to be blessed as we gather together each Sunday in a truer and purer worship of His name. It necessitates that even our Saturdays become seen as the day that the Lord has given us to make ready a sacrifice of worship that is worthy and pleasing to Him in every respect. It is a day of preparation. It is the day that we prepare for our Lord God Almighty the sacrifice of worship that we will bring to Him. We should prepare for worship with prayer and feasting on His Word and praises and adoration, getting ready throughout the week to gather together in His name on His day, to enter together fully into His rest. So be it. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting anxiously for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life. Amen.